Good morning, family. Definitely good to see each one of us out here. And as we mentioned earlier in our announcements, we have several members who are sick, you know, either with COVID or the flu or a combination of both and other issues they're dealing with. So we definitely pray that they'll have a speedy recovery. You know, it's just that time of year. Seems like about every other person, if you're not sick, you know somebody else who's sick with it, something going on. So just be careful and get healthy as soon as possible. Also keeping your prayers. Us, many of us loved our dear sister Sharon Huff and the wonderful smile, the laughs that she brought. She was just a wonderful person. But, you know, as I was talking and talking to others around them, the best thing she did was obey the gospel. So knowing that, we know that we'll be able to see her again if the Lord's will one day. All right, bought it today. I didn't forget it. Put it in my pocket. Figured out a plan, Chad. Subject title, Jesus, the light of the world. Now, many folks at this time of year, they really like to go out and look at the lights. And, you know, some people get all into it. You know, they got the whole block, the whole house lit up. You know, when I grew up, where I grew up at, you know, this time of year, you go down that street and it seemed like it was daylight. There was so much light out. How many lights out? And we know we got places like McCaddenville and all those other places. And they're wonderful to look at. But, you know, as I was thinking, we have the opportunity to have a relationship with the light of the world. Not something on a house or in a yard or even on a tree. We have an opportunity to have a relationship with the light of the world. Now, we know what the world thinks about the lights in this time. You know, those folks who really have no desire to have a relationship with Christ, usually they're the ones who lit up the most. And it's great, it's part of tradition, and you have the right to do these things on your own, but as I'm looking at it and thinking about it, what a great time to teach them about who the true light is. Yes. Have you ever decided to teach somebody who the true light was? Have you ever decided to live such a life that the light of Christ shine through you? Mm-hmm. Have you ever decided to light the light of folks who are in darkness by setting aside time to teach them the gospel? You know, we're lights. You know, we're God's living lights. We don't need them on a tree. We don't need to be plugged in. We don't need to flick on and off. We don't need to be red, green, or blue, whatever light it is, or whatever colors people have. But what about the light of the world? And that's something we should be far more concerned about, because I feel like sometimes we just kind of fall into what the Bible calls the way of the heathen, so to speak. Jeremiah 10 talks about this. It talks about the fact of some of the traditions that they carried on, because newsflash, there's nothing new. And before there was Jesus on this earth in a physical form, they were already participating in many of the customs that we have today. Let's start off in Jeremiah chapter 10, because I want to use that as a springboard. And then we're going to move on over into 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and John chapter 8. Just to get your minds on it. But as we said before, we talked about this a little bit last night, that at least folks' minds are at least turning towards Christ at this particular time. But we as Christians should have a different mindset about all the things that we do for Christ or in the name of Christ. I mean, can't find it myself. Struggling a little bit this morning. Y'all pray for me. Should have had it marked, but I didn't. I'm going to get there soon, though. Jeremiah chapter 10. We'll begin in verse number 1, and it reads as such. Have you the word of the Lord, which the word of the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel? Thus said the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, for the heathen are dismayed at them. For the customs of the people are vain, for one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with an axe, they deck it with silver and gold. They fasten it with nails and hammers that it not move. They are upright as the palm trees, but speak not. They must needs be born, because they cannot go. Be not afraid of them, for they cannot do evil, neither also it is them to do good. They're just things and stuff. Now, we have always been people, God's people, who give meaning to things and stuff. And that's okay in many respects. That's whatever you decide. But don't let that be your example of the light of the world, because you got your house lit up. Amen. Don't let that be your example of light of the world because you got the most beautiful lights on your Christmas tree. Don't let that be your example of the light of the world when we put Christ away just like the rest of the world do come December the 26th. Now let's see what this light is. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. We're going to sit down around verse number 6. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. In verse number 6. And it reads as such. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts, to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Verse 7 reads, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Jesus, the light of the world. Light and heat are precious commodities. We've experienced that this week in our community here in Albemarle. We understand how important it is. We understand some of the conveniences we take for granted. When they're not there, they make life a little difficult. Light is needed for the earth to operate properly. Many folks are proclaiming Jesus as the light of the world. We have lights during Christmas season and everywhere. Many say they represent Christ being the light of the world, but what truly is light? John chapter 7, verse 37. When we look at John chapter 8, verse 12, Christ tells the woman that he was speaking to that he is the light of the world. And if you go back into John chapter 7, right around verse 37, we see that this setting took place in what many folks have termed the Feast of Tabernacles, which was still a feast that was kept under the old law. And what this was it was an array of candelabras, and they would light them. The rabbis would dance around the candelabras and light representing the word of God and light of God in their lives, and it was quite a spectacle to witness. Christ seems to be speaking from this point of view, and Christ did that a lot. Sometimes he just took folks where they were and said, you know what, y'all talking about light, we just had the Feast of Festivals. Actually, I'm the light of the world. That's who I am, and that's who he is still today. So as we go through this holiday season and enjoy it the best way you see fit, but understand that Christ is the true light of the world. Not what somebody says and not a competition with your neighbor to get a sign put in your yard because you had the best Christmas decorations. That's not what it's about. We serve the light of the world. We have a chance to let the light of the world shine in us. How dare we act the same way the heathen does when it comes to Christ being the light of the world? So let's see, you may not know what the definition is like. I'm going to give you a basic definition. What is light? And I found this, I'm Googling on my phone. It's a good definition of it. It is, light is the natural agent that stimulates sight and makes things visible. Synonyms are illumination, brightness, luminescence, shining, gleaming, radiance, luster, glow, glare, dazzle, etc. Christ created light, yet he called himself the light of the world. Now, we read Genesis chapter 1 and John chapter 1 and other ones that say that Christ created even light himself, but he also is light of the world because of who he is and what he's done for us. Let us never forget that. In times like this, make sure that we make a point that we're really representing the true light of the world, not the light of the season. Because many folks represent the light of the season, they get so excited and electric bills go sky high and they just lit up and it's so beautiful. It is beautiful to look at, but let us not miss the point. Let's not miss the point that we represent or we are part of the light of the world when Christ shines in us. So let's look at some reasons why Christ was considered the light of the world. Why? Number one is light is always bright and obvious. Light can be seen and felt without further confirmation. Babies respond to light almost immediately. We know that when there is light around or not. You walk into a room, Chris talked about walking to the building. He noticed there was no light that produced heat. We know that right away. We know when light is absent. We know that. You walk into a dark room. Many of us, the first thing we start fumbling for is a light switch. Or, you know, the little things you have to pull down, the old school lights, you have to pull the little screen. We find the light before we run into something. You know, oftentimes our eyes adjust, but that's not true light. But think about how important light is today. Think about how our world is made beautiful. Many of us grew up in times, and maybe our parents and grandparents grew up in times where they had no electric light. The houses were still lit by kerosene lanterns and things like that, but they valued light. They worked while there was light during day because they didn't have things like, you know, night lights to light the streets and things like that. So light was very important to them. It was precious to them. But I dare say the light of the world, we treat it like the light that we cut on in many respects. Think about that for a moment. Hebrews 1 and 3 talks about Christ is the light of God's glory. 2 Corinthians 4 and 6, the thing, the scripture we just read, says God commanded light to shine out of darkness. That light is none other than Jesus Christ. That's the light that we ought to be proclaiming each and every day of our lives. It shines into our hearts. And it says he made this light in the very form of the face of Christ. That is the most precious light that we can ever have. That's the light that we should be seeking and searching to show the world each and every day of our lives, not just during this particular season. Point number two, light always has a source. Where there is light in the room, the source is easily known. Or you flick on the thing, you flip it on, the switch in your room, and you usually see a light, some kind of form of light in the room that gives you light instantly. But that's not the source. We know the source comes from electricity or whatever else you use to heat, you know, or regulate your homes. But it has a source. When there's light in the room, we know it. Even a blind person can feel the light of the sun. They go from outside, inside a cold place, to outside. There's something warm on them. They may not be able to physically see it with their eyes, but they're able to feel it with their bodies. The works of Jesus validated him as the source of all things good and all things holy. That's the source of our holiness. That is the source of our righteousness. We're only made righteous because of the light that lives in us, because light shone in our lives to point out sin and darkness. And we also know that we can't have a relationship with God unless we're walking with him in the light. So light is important, just as important as it is, but to a Christian, light is important every day of our lives. And that's what we should be stressing most. The works of Christ are validated by this point. Point number three, the light of Jesus and light is limitless. Light shines in great distances. In the perfect conditions, you can see a candle about 20 miles away. Can you imagine just one candle being seen 20 miles away? That's like the light being seen from here to almost Ansonville, so to speak. A candle in the right conditions. And we just look up. If you think light is precious and light travels a long distance, just look up at the stars at night. Understand these planets are and bodies, heavenly bodies, are millions and millions of miles away from us. And yet we see them. And sometimes they're so bright that it looks like day. You have the moon. You have the sun, 93 million miles away, that lights our lives every day. It's not close to us. But it's limitless in many respects. The light of the sun and stars, as I mentioned before, in the universe. The only thing that blocks light is something thick, solid, and hard. We'll get to that point in a minute. The light of Jesus is limitless if we let it have its free course. Hebrews 7:25 talks about that hearts were hardened to the word of God. And when our hearts become hardened, it's kind of hard for light to penetrate it. Many folks today are walking around with a heart that's hard as stone. The word of God no longer affects them. They don't even move. They don't even bother them anymore. If it's able to save us to the uttermost, that's how important, that's how valuable this light is. The uttermost means that there is no sin that you have committed that can't be cleansed and exposed by the light of the gospel. That's how powerful the light that we serve is. It's an everlasting light. It's limitless, but it can touch even the uttermost parts of us. And as we walk daily with him and our walk with Christ, understand this. The word of God illuminates even those dark places in our minds and our actions. It doesn't hide anything. I don't know about you, but sometimes the way I find stuff I've lost is cut on the light so I can see it. And many times I done stepped over it 3 or 4 times. I done tripped over it. And all I had to do was turn on the light so I could see where it was. That's how beautiful light is in everyday life. What about the light of Christ in our lives? What about the fact that basically because of the light that's in us, that shines through us, the light of Christ, Philippians 4:17 says, because of this light, we can truly do all things through Christ Jesus, who is the light of the world. Do you realize when we allow Christ's light, the word of the gospel, to have free course in our life, that we can truly do or handle anything that this world throws at us? That's the purpose of it. That's what Paul is talking about again in Philippians 4:17. We can do all things through Christ's delight that strengthens us. This is what sustains us. This is why when the world is dark, that we shine as lights even brighter. This is why when it seems like folks know we're going through some things and trials and tribulations, we're still able to rejoice. It's not us, it's the light in us. But sometimes sin darkens it and hardens our heart. Disobedience darkens our heart. Not being fully dedicated to Christ and letting Christ's light have free course in our life, it will eventually darken your heart to the point where it become hardened, to the point where it does no good for you. Matthew 13 and 15 bears witness to this. As I said before, Hebrews 3 and 15 says we must not harden our hearts when we hear the word of God. Romans 2 and 15 talks about the fact that the heart hardening will cause the wrath of God to come upon us. So if you choose to harden your heart, understand that you're making yourself ripe for God's wrath. Maybe not in this world, but definitely in judgment. So when light hits us, we don't need to harden our hearts. And that's a choice that we make. We can let light expose some things and change us so that we can become lights to shine in this world, as Christ talks about, or we can refuse it and allow it to harden us, because light does that. You don't believe it? Leave a cookie or donut sometime in the light sometime. You leave it out there long enough, it'll come hard as a rock. You won't be able to eat it. And all that happened was it was exposed to light. That's all that happened to it. The light was on it. It dried it out to the point where your teeth can't even penetrate it anymore. We see that happening in natural light. But it was because the chemicals in it began to harden, so to speak. Another thing is, point number four is light requires action. It dispels darkness whenever present. John 1 and 5 bears witness to this, and also John 3:19. Light also reproves darkness. The light of God's word should drive out darkness and sin in our lives. And if we're still living in a sinful state, understand this. We have not allowed the light of God to penetrate our hearts to the point where we're exposed to sin in our lives so much so that we all don't want to get rid of it. I don't know about you, but sometimes when you go looking and do house cleaning, you find stuff hidden that you should have got rid of a long time ago. We still hold on to it. It has no purpose in it. We just know it's there. And sometimes it's there forever. You just didn't know it was still there because you hid it in the back of a closet somewhere. You hid it under your bed somewhere. You hid it someplace where you no longer had a need for it. So when light exposes it, I don't know about you, I'm like, why am I still holding on to this? I haven't worn this shirt in 10 years. And plus, it don't even fit anymore. So why am I holding on to it? And then you think about, well, where was it? Why did I not recognize it? Because it was hidden somewhere. Light does those things. Light is also active. Light illuminates all things, both good and bad. Example I use here is stubbing your toe in the middle of the night. If you've never done it, keep living. You're going to know for sure that you got a pinky toe. If you don't believe you got one now, stub your toe on the bed or table at night. You're going to realize how important that pinky toe is. Psalms 109 and 5 says this, God's word is a light unto our paths. And guess what? Light is not to be hid under a bushel. It is to be set on a hill, to be seen about all. Many folks today are ashamed to live the Christian light in their society. That ought not be us. Or we play different lights. You know, some of us got disco lights certain times. Some of us got strobe lights. Some of us got lights, fluorescent lights. Some of us even try to live our lives by dark lights. That's not the light I'm talking about. The bushel here represents sin, fear, shame, persecution, popularity, and etc. God designed us to be a light that sits on a hill. Nobody in their right mind lights a candle and puts it on a bushel or a bush. That makes no sense. What use is it then? What use are we if we hide our light up on the bushel? What use are we? We're supposed to be shining his lights in this world of darkness. It tells us this in the New Testament. It tells us this. Point number five. Got a few more slides to bring this lesson full on. I'm going to keep you long this morning. Light is an extension of a light source. Christ is the extension of God sent to dwell among men. So when folks say the light of the world, it's not talking about just some mere light that's man-made. It's not even really talking about the sun that God made or the moon that reflects the light of the sun or the moon or the light in heaven that allows us to see stars at night. It's something way more powerful and precious than that. Because they have the same essence. Christ is light, God is light, and we're to shine as lights. That's supposed to be what our purpose is. We're to shine as lights in this world. And what does that mean? It doesn't mean you do it to blind people. Because I don't know about you, one of the things you can do sometimes to get on people's last nerve and get swung at the middle of the night is when the room is pitch dark, shine a light in their eyes. Just, I play a game. I ain't the only one did that out camping and in the yard sometimes. I ain't the only one did it in a dark room. I ain't the only one took joy out of when the room was completely dark, hitting the light switch real quick. Watch people bury their heads. Tell me I ain't the only one. I see some heads out there shaking. I'm not the only one who does that and gets some little pleasure out of that. Think about that for a moment. We are to reflect the light of Christ in our lives. Do you do that? What I do on Sundays, not good enough. Are you reflecting the light of Christ each and every day of your life? Because the world has a right to expect it out of you. When you name the name of Christ and obey that form of doctrine, God says, my goal is for you to shine as lights in this world of darkness. How can were we doing that and we just acting like there is no light in our lives? How in the world can we shine the light on others when we live in just as dark as they are? It's impossible. It's impossible. Christ is that extension. We are to reflect the light of Christ in our lives. We are to lead others to the true source, Jesus, by shining our light on others. That is what we call evangelizing 101. We decide to shine as lights and let folks know why we shine as lights, which is teaching them the gospel and then showing them how to shine as light, which is continue to teach them, according to Matthew 28 and 20, then not only are we shining as lights, they begin to shine as lights as well. And when they shine as lights, part of really making disciples is they begin to show other folks how to shine as lights. It ain't too complicated if we really take God's word for it. Christ is truly the light of the world. Christ, the light, is attempting to shine in the lives of all today. What evidence of Christ is there shining, of Christ shining in us? What evidence proves that you have the light of Christ shining in you? Well, I know this and I did this and I'm here. What evidence of the light of Christ shining in us each and every day? We live a different life now. Amen. If you are living or striving to live in no different than you did before you obeyed the gospel, the light of Christ is not shining in you. That's the reality. It's harsh, but that's the reality. Because when you walk from darkness to light, you know a big difference. If we went out here tonight and this parking lot would be pitch dark, you know it's a big difference from walking out there right now with the sun shining bright. Are you walking a different life? Well, nah, really, I'm trying, and I understand you're trying, but is that your goal? But sometimes we use trying as a situation, an excuse to stay exactly where we at. Are you trying to be closer to the light? Well, I might get burnt. Well, you might get cleansed too. God's light won't burn you. He knows how to temper it. The closer we get to the light, the warmer it is, the more we become one with the light. Many folks don't want to walk in the light because they think they can have one light in the world and one light in the church. Are we walking close to that light? Our speech is different. When light shines through you, it ought to change how you speak to folks and what comes out of your mouth. There is no way in the world, if true light is shining through us and we're not doing anything to dim it, then our speech should be changing evermore. We shouldn't be having the same old garbage pail mouth that we had before light shined in us. Because light does a process. It's a process that cleans up your thoughts from the inside out. So that you won't want to cuss the next person out that hit your buggy, hit you in the back with a buggy in Walmart. Or if you want to do it, you don't do it anymore. That's progress, ain't it? I'm not saying it doesn't cross across your mind, but light allows you, it causes you to kind of shut up a little bit. Light also causes you to begin to love your enemies, not because they're doing righteous, because they're God's creation as well. We become more concerned about the souls of others. There is no way in the world, if light is bursting through you, you're not going to use it to shine in darkness. It's just like you and I having the only source of light on our block, like maybe had this week. I don't know about you, but sometimes that happens. Sometimes it's done, you're lit by a kerosene heater that symbolizes and gives warmth. I'm pretty sure many neighbors gathered together this time of year, or this past week, so that everybody have a source of light and heat in their house. Maybe those folks who power didn't come on, or gas didn't come back on, till Friday or Saturday, whenever the last one was on. They had shelters around here, I know that, that offered light and warmth. Would it be that shelter and light of warmth to the world? When the world is cold, when the world is dark, when people are beat up with sin, when sin has done a number in their lives, we ought to be lights for these folks to show them the way to the true light. We also value his word more than anything else. And I always like to say that, and I have to check myself with this. There's a whole lot of things valuable to me in this world, but nothing should be more valuable than the word of God. Amen. Not money, not God, and guess what? Not even people. Because people are going to come and go. A young man asked me before, that life is a cycle. You just live and die, and that's kind of the way it is, but during that time period, you got to be prepared to live somewhere eternally. We don't get to come back and have a second chance at it. It'd be nice. That's what some folks teach. You know, if I was a rascal when I was here, I'm going to come back as a butterfly, maybe a bug, and I'll move on up to a buzzard. Move up to a buzzard, if I'm good enough, I'll move up to a buffalo. Then move up to a buffalo, then I move up to a butterfly, and then I reach nirvana. That's not the way it is. The only time we have to shine as lights is this life that we have here now. We value. So in conclusion, you cannot walk with God without walking in the light. It's impossible. Some folks say, well, I'm walking in the light of spirituality. I'm walking in the light of knowledge. But all those things, if it's true light, means you're walking with Christ, not apart from him. That's a false light source, and that's going to burn out. That's just the way it is. I don't know about you, but we got all kind of different bulbs today, halogen bulbs or whatever you call them. And these things last for 10,000 hours or 10,000 days. I don't believe all that stuff. Man created it. It's going to break down. It's going to burn out eventually. But you know what? I ain't changed my lights in my house in 20 years. Well, on the 21st year, you're going to have to place every light in your house. That's just the way it works. But not the light of Christ. It never burns out. You don't have to worry about changing it. If you strayed away from the light, you need to return. Because the way it works is, and I don't know about you, but the longer you're in darkness, you no longer realize you're in darkness. Why? Because God gave us the innate ability for our eyes and pupils to adjust to whatever little speck of light there is. Now, there's such thing as pitch darkness, but if there's a speck of light, our eyes will adjust to the point where at least we can see our hand before our face. But that's not good enough. That's what some folks are saying. They're like, you know what? I've been in dark so long, it's kind of actually light here. And then they hit the real light and go outside. It almost blinds them. Folks who lived and dwelt in and worked in caves and stuff and worked on the ground without light. You know, light does a number on them when they come out. It takes a while for them to adjust. Oftentimes, they want to run back to the dark because that light is too bright. That's the nature of our walk with Christ. When Christ brings us out of the world of darkness, many folks say, well, you know what's too bright? I don't want to change all these things. So I'm going to go back over in the dark a little bit. Or we say, I'm going into the shade. And that shade is actually darkness. Running away from light is futile. How many of us can really outrun the light of the sun in our lives? Now, you can drive. You drive west, you might outrun it if you drive fast enough or fly fast enough. But you can't outrun the light of God. You can't outrun it. It's going to be everywhere. You can't outrun it. He sees and knows everything. His word lets us know that. We need the eternal light to light our path to heaven. There's one true light that lights to heaven. And that's what Christ says in Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 and 14. Straight is the way and narrow is the gate that leads to life, and few there be that find it. There is a true source of light. There's many artificial sources of light in this world. Man's doctrine, what man thinks, all the other things that folks are looking for to achieve illumination, so to speak. But if you're not being lit by the light of Christ, it's a false light. Without the light of Christ, whether we feel like we're in light or not, we're truly living in darkness. What about us today? As this world really values the houses that are lit up at this time, and they're so beautiful to look at, many folks do and enjoy looking at them, but maybe it's just me. I just thought as I was thinking about a lesson to present, and I see all the news and all the folks lined up all the way on Highway 85 going to McCaddenville, do they line up the same way to get the light of Jesus? Do you rush to the light of Jesus the same way you do when you drive down your street and you stop and pause and talk about how beautiful the lights are? And they are. I'm not trying to minimize it, but there's something even more beautiful and precious. That's the light of Jesus that came down in the flesh. God commanded him to come down in the flesh so that his knowledge and the glory of God would shine in the face of Christ. In darkness today, you can start by walking in the light, by obeying the gospel. We do that by hearing the gospel, believing we have heard, repenting of our sins. You know our sins. We look in God's word and we know. We read it and we know we sin, and yet we stay in our sins. Why? We know it. I don't know about you. When I look into God's word sometimes, I almost got to do this with it. Maybe you don't have to look at God's word this way sometimes. I do. You know, sometimes you watch scary movies and you watch them through your fingers. Sometimes I have to look in God's word that way because I know I got to change some stuff and clean. I don't really want to see all of what it says about me and what I'm doing. But then I have to be honest with myself and take my hands down. Just because you hide your eyes doesn't mean it's going to change. That's repentance. Then we confess Jesus Christ. We own up to the fact that, God, I'm darkness. In me is nothing but sin. You are my light. You're the only reason I'm able to shine as lights. We confess him being the light source, the true light source. And then we're baptized in him. That is that lighting process. Just going back to what we went through today. I didn't know this because I've never had gas heat, but you better not turn on gas in your house until somebody relight that pilot. Somebody who knows what they're doing, right? I don't know what I'm doing. So if I had gas heat, I definitely would have waited because I didn't see too many videos and heard stories about people not putting out pilot lights and gas running all day, and they come in and the first spark of light, something blowing up. God is the one, if we fall in the way, to relight our pilot light, spiritual pilot light. Don't trust man to do it. Don't trust your own intuition. Trust the master. He created it. Wait for him to get there. Don't wait. Run to him so that you can get relit in your life, so you can get that spiritual pilot light relit. And that's what happens from time to time. The light goes out. That same vigor that we had, that eagerness that we had to serve God is not there anymore. We all go through it. But maybe then you need to call the master, the light source, so that he can revive us. So we can shine the light once again as well as God. So they have one desire to put on Christ.